So,
next, I was asked to give just a very short presentation on another question that the panel asked me after workshop two, which was maybe a little bit more of a sliding scale approach to adjusting this park and cope index. And so everything I did for workshop two, I had this park and cope ball terminal run, and then I demonstrated that we could add in different portions of the catch and increase it to a maximum of 20%. And so all the material, I guess if you want more in-depth as to what I did, there's a short write-up on the ESSA website that they posted shortly after workshop two. And so I think that's got the paper copy version of the same talk. So by changing things by 20%, remember the mean of the park and cope fall terminal index was about 1,200, and I was exploring adjusting that by 20%, but I had a lot of other different lines on there representing other different increases ranging from essentially zero to more than 20%. So you can interpolate to get any value that you really want based on these plots. And I did the same thing with, this is just the change in the total mean killer whale population size. And then years in the future on the x-axis. We can also look at the cumulative probability of delisting based on the criteria. Again, 50 years in the future, and again across a wide range of different percentages that I manipulated that park and cope fall terminal run index. And so 20% was what we focused on, but there's a lot of others that can be explored from these same plots. What these analyses assume, though, was that in all years, the park and cope index was increased by 20% or 10% or whatever level you choose. And so that effect is constant, and I think what the panel wanted to see was what if we only manipulated it in the worst years, for instance, and so had some sliding rule. So following workshop two, the scenario that we wanted to compare was these two scenarios where in scenario one, we increased the park and cope index by 10% in all years. So this is exactly what I did for workshop two. Increased the same across the board. And then compare this with scenario two, where we only increased the Chinook index by a maximum of 10%. And we only do it when the Chinook index is less than the historical mean. So what this looks like graphically is on the x-axis here, we have the quantile of the park and cope index. So anywhere to the right of 0.5 means that you're greater than the historical mean, and we do nothing. We just stay at the status quo. But when the park and cope index in these future projections decreases below 50% of the historical mean, we start ramping up that index by a maximum increase of 10% at when that index reaches a third of the historical range that we've seen. So that's what it looks like graphically. And so just to compare these two scenarios relative to the status quo, we looked at a number of things. The first was increase in mean population size over the panel wanted 5, 15, and 30-year time frames. So we had the baseline status quo, what the population would be, and then in the white boxes, what the change would be under this scenario one, where we increase things across the board, and then scenario two, where it's a sliding scale. So what we see is that over 5 years, we'd increase by increasing the index by 10% across the board, we'd increase the population size by about 2 individuals. And then in scenario 2, in 5 years, we'd increase the population by 0.88 individuals, which is about half of what we get by increasing everything by 10% across the board. And that kind of makes sense if you think about it, because if we're only adjusting that index when we're below the historical mean, it's going to be below the mean half the time. So we're really only changing it. We'd expect an increase or an effect a size of about half of what it is in scenario one, and that's what we see. So it's really not terribly interesting. Another thing we looked at was the increase in the median population size. Again, the same thing, we changed the population size from 92. 3 individuals, if we increase everything across the board by 10%, the sliding scale we'd increase by 1. And then we can do the same thing with increase in number of whales, mean whales per year. So status quo, this would be 1, and then 0.42 under scenario 1, where everything's increased by 10%. Scenario 2, sliding scale, it's about half of that again. And so the other things we wanted to look at were the downlisting and delisting criteria. And I think that this kind of shows that scenario two is not half as effective as scenario one with respect to these criteria, because baseline under the status quo scenario, the probability of reaching the downlisting criterion in 5 years is 3.6%. If we increase everything by 10% in all years, we'd increase that by about 2.4%, and almost not touch it at all if we just increased Chinook by 10% in those bad years. Same thing with probability of delisting, except for here we just wouldn't change anything. And then for the PSP recovery goal, which is just another goal, the baseline, the probability of reaching that is about 48% by 2020. If we increase everything by 10% across the board, we'd increase that goal by about 11%, but we wouldn't change anything from the status quo if we did this kind of sliding scale approach. So just to kind of summarize this, we are not directly modeling the fisheries themselves. Again, we're just modeling the adjustments to the index. Scenario two might be more realistic than scenario one. And I think that we have one additional scenario that we explored, which is on the website, where we're only manipulating the index and cutting, we're only changing the index in good years. And so you can think of that as kind of a peaks versus valleys type problem. But this generally resulted in pretty poor performance across the board, worse than the status quo for many of the measures that I just showed. So that's kind of the follow-up, or that was the answer to the question that the panel asked after workshop two. And then another part of this was, well, why not look at other Park and Cope indices based on some of the stuff that Dave Bernard and others did for workshop two? And I think this was kind of a simultaneous analysis that I looked at after workshop two. So looking at different groupings of the stocks that we looked at previously. And this gets back to what Mike Ford had alluded to yesterday, which is that when we start to look at larger aggregate groupings of stocks, and so instead of just the Park and Cope fall terminal minus California, and start looking at total aggregate abundance, either terminal run or the ocean index with the fishery impact, the best predictor is actually the total impact. So it's the terminal run plus the fishery impact. So that's probably an important result thinking about stock groupings. And so it seems like killer whale demographics is more correlated with the total than any individual stocks. And this might be something that we kind of expect if the relative importance of stocks has changed or fluctuated a little bit through time. And no one stock is uniformly important in all years. So that's kind of the results of that sensitivity analysis. And I'll take any questions.
Been meaning to ask this.
Which one?
The PVA, the original. Well, I think you did it for workshop two. So, just to be clear on this, this is the increased probability of meeting recovery goals over doing nothing. Because there's a certain probability that
Right. You
would meet these goals even if you didn't do anything.
Right.
And
so,
this is the net increase?
No. So for workshop two, remember, I showed two different flavors of the same slide. I just grabbed these two because they seemed like representative samples. But I showed this absolute probability of delisting under different, which is what this is.
Uh-huh.
I also showed the net change, though, of the status quo.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a different plot. But it's on the ESSA website. I think it's in maybe the third presentation I did then.
Okay.
What are the red numbers there?
Red numbers are just the different levels of that fall, the Park and Cope fall terminal minus California index.
Okay. Status quo is 1,200.
Yeah.
Okay, so the status quo is on there.
Yeah, so you could interpret, if you did a little bit of measuring here, you could get the net change from this plot too. Any other questions?
So was the idea of the 50% adjusting at half of the index, was the idea that
it drops to 50% and then it would be increased by 10%, so to 55%?
Yes. Yep. So if you, yeah, it's almost like if you're doing a forecast and you knew that the index would be less than 50% in that year, you would correct it by whatever you get from this kind of figure. So in the worst case scenario, if you drop below a third, then you would go back to 43%, say. So if you were to add a third, you would go back to 43%.
Sorry, I don't have one.
Yeah, just a point of clarification. You indicated, I think, that it was a modification of the Park and Cope index that worked the best. Would you explain what that modification was again?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough because not being a workshop too, I spent quite a bit of detail going into that. It was essentially, we looked at taking, I think that Chuck and Robert came up with, I mean, you guys can correct me, 28 or 32 different stock groupings, different stock indices. And so we looked at combining different groups of those based on their spatial distribution in the ocean or based on run timing, things like that, and looked at which ones were most correlated. And so the group of stocks based on season, so that's the fall grouping, was most correlated, and we looked at adding or deleting the California stocks, and when the California stocks are taken out, it does a little bit. It's a little bit more correlated, but you know, whether that's the most important, that's a whole other question for the correlation causation.
Eric, you may have already answered this, but why was it 10% that you used there instead of the 20 in the other one?
My memory's failing me. I don't remember if this is something that the panel asked for or whether it's something that we decided. I think that this is it was a joint effort with some, you know, pretty much everyone from NOAA and DFO was working on this. So it's pretty arbitrary, I think.
No other questions? All right. So we've got one more talk in this session before the panel. That's